Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You're going to send us an email, you know, as long as it's positive and encouraging. It needs to be a K-Love email.
K-Love email. That's what we want.
Yeah, it's
friendly, encouraging, uplifting.
Well, I know K-Love is a sister Christian radio network. They play music all the time. And so they say, K-Love, positive and encouraging. That's what they, that's their slogan. So I'm just borrowing it for our email. We want positive and encouraging K-Love emails at comments at AFR.net. Comments at AFR.net. I got a discouraging letter yesterday from a listener, and she was nice about it, but she was scolding me for, she said I called President Trump dude or something the other day, and I don't remember doing that, but if I did it,
It's President Dude.
I didn't mean it in a disrespectful way.
President Trump is a dude, right?
He is a dude, man.
He's a dude. He's a dude. Okay.
He's a dude don't. Like the rest of us. Males.
No offense at all intended.
Well, what I found ironic is, and I've had this happen to me before, because you got some of President Trump's fans who are, it's almost a religion for them. They're rabid and they're defensive of him to the nth. So you can't say anything critical or they call you and email you.
Well, you know.
Let me finish this just real quick, Ray, and then you can comment on it. However, the irony here is I've had two or three people, Tim, you need to be more respectful. You didn't even call, one of them said you called Trump by his last name only. And I was sitting there saying, well, if I did, that's appropriate as long as you call somebody by their proper title to begin with. Even Trump calls himself Trump.
Sure. Right.
But
in all caps.
All caps. All caps. But I thought, this is ironic. Somebody telling me I need to use a proper name with President Trump when Trump calls Nikki Haley Birdbrain every day. So the man that they're saying I'm disrespectful by just calling his last name is calling people names every day, all day, which is disrespectful. So why don't you go tell Trump to quit calling people names and then come back and talk to me about calling him Trump.
Look, so I don't blame anybody.
Go ahead.
I don't blame anybody for being a Trump supporter.
I don't either.
I voted for him twice. I don't blame them for being defensive to a big degree because, look, we just, in the last segment of the one before, we talked about this outrageous judgment against him, $350 million. Clearly, not just selective prosecution, but a political prosecution. Most of these cases are political prosecution by the administration against one of their enemies. We've called that what it is. That's banana republic kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that, I think, explains in part the way people respond because they think he's been treated unfairly. And frankly, I don't like the way he's been treated in these lawsuits.
No, I don't either. Well, this is about 3 or 4 months ago. A lady emailed me. She said, hey, Tim, I'm about tempted to quit listening to you because I don't know how this email got to me, but I'd usually respond to people personally because I take it personal. You know what I'm saying? I respond, and I'm just teasing about it. But she said, quit calling. You know, you need to refer to him as President Trump, okay, when you talk about him. I don't know what I'd done. I said, so you're talking about the man who hasn't called the governor of Florida by his proper title in a year. Trump called Governor DeSantis, that's his title, duly elected. He called him DeSanctimonious for a whole year, or DeSanctus. Just totally and completely disrespectful of the governor.
Purposefully.
Yeah.
Intentionally.
So I'm sitting here thinking, you're telling me I need to be more respectful of Trump.
Sure.
Why Trump talks people down every day, calling them names. So,
and I have a solution to this.
Yeah, give me a solution. Well, it's over now because DeSantis is out and Nikki Haley's probably about to be out, so Birdbrain will be gone.
But I'm talking about the solution to the negative comments?
You mean for us?
For us, the few that we get. Have we thought, maybe.
It isn't an avalanche, just a few people here and there, and that's okay.
I've got something.
Go ahead.
What if, though?
What if?
Have we thought about this, having two email accounts, one for positive and one for negative?
Well, negative can come to you. Because I don't want it coming to me. Huh?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, okay,
giving somebody an outlet there.
No, they don't need to have an outlet. They need to keep it to themselves.
Kidding. So we're just going to stick with one.
What's in it, huh? All right. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, we all make mistakes, and we try our best here at American Family Radio to be fair to everybody.
We've actually right now got a montage of President Tim's mistakes right here. Clip number four.
No, I don't need to be reminded of them.
Clip number four.
I don't need that guilt trip.
Just kidding. Okay?
Listen. In all seriousness, right? The Bible tells us we're to pray for those who are in authority, right?
Right.
And we as Christians are supposed to be law and order, and we're supposed to be respectful. And sometimes we can miss that mark, but am I right about that approach to our government?
That's First Peter. We're told to honor. Well, First Peter says honor the king. In this case, when we talk about Joe Biden, with whom we have a mile-long list of disagreements, Kamala Harris, maybe even longer list of disagreements, if possible, we're still to honor them by speaking of them respectfully. Do we always live up to that standard? Probably not, but at least we know what we ought to do. Treat them with honor and respect.
Steve, go ahead.
Hey.
Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Yeah, hey, everybody. I agree. Donald Trump can do what he wants. I suppose I'm going to hold to whatever standard God has for me. Can I bridge over to something else?
Sure. You bridge.
You were talking
about... Build a bridge, Steve. That's what we're about here.
You were talking about Nikki Haley. How bad is her campaign going right now? Yeah. She just called a press conference that is covered live by two networks, and actually three for a bit, just to say that she's not dropping out of the race.
Yeah. Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm not dropping out. So,
that had been rumored.
It had been, but I mean,
yeah, if you call the press conference just to say I'm not quitting, that's
right. I have a theory on that. This is just a theory, and that is this. I think I mentioned this the other day. Clearly, former President Trump is going to win the Republican nomination. All right, and he's going to win handily. She is the only competition left. And he's going to beat her 2-1, probably most places, maybe not, maybe 60-40 in her home state. Who knows? We'll see what happens there. However, if she chooses to stay in and keep going, or you're going to have to find some money to do that, but she may be thinking, listen, I'm going to go all the way to the convention. I haven't talked to anybody in her campaign. I'm just guessing. I'm going to go all the way to the convention and get my 35% or whatever like that. And then if Trump is ineligible for some reason, maybe he gets convicted of a felony or multiple felonies, then I'm the –
the only one left in the
race. Only one left. That's what I'm thinking. It's either that or she will wrap it up after South Carolina. Because if you can't win your own home state, that's one of the reasons DeSantis dropped out.
He was
trailing Trump in Florida. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want to get, that if you can't win in your own home state, you need to drop out. So, anyway.
Point you made, the money will dry up.
The money will drive. Yeah, people aren't going to write you checks if they don't think you're going to be competitive. So, anyway, go ahead, Steve. What else you got there?
I have some serious news, but I wanted to start with this. People have been, liberals have been calling for Justice Thomas to resign or recuse himself. He's taken a lot of heat because of his conservative values.
Right.
And he was at a panel discussion. He was a guest, and he was having a talk, and he said a couple of things I want you to hear, but I just love this guy's laugh. His laugh is something.
It's infectious.
I want you to hear cut 10.
One of the things I'd say in response to the media is when they talk about, or especially early on, about the way I did my job. I said, I will absolutely leave the court when I do my job as poorly as you do yours. And that was meant as a compliment, really.
Is that him laughing?
Yes.
I think we've neglected this side of the room. Is right.
It really is good to be me. It really is.
Well, also, when you're a Supreme Court justice, you have a lifetime appointment.
Yep.
So
he's enjoying his.
Yeah, he's enjoying. What is he? Isn't Clarence Thomas like? Look up his age. Isn't he like 75 or something
he's
like that?
He's getting up there.
He's almost old enough to run for president.
Just about.
Almost.
A couple
more years.
We'll confirm it. I thought he was 77, 78.
Is he?
He is.
Clarence Thomas, ladies and gentlemen, is how old?
75
years old. Well, I think he needs to take that lifetime appointment and follow through with it. I mean, he doesn't need to retire anytime soon. He's the best, man. Him and Samuel Alito, the Supreme Court justices, those are the best ones right now on the court. So we need Clarence Thomas to stay on.
Because they don't add to or take away. The Constitution is what it is. It says what it says, and that's how they interpret it.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Steve.
All right. I think New York City is trying to live
New York City.
New York City trying to live up to its sanctuary city moniker, even though it complains bitterly about all of the illegal immigrants that are there, because Mayor Eric Adams is giving out prepaid cash cards to immigrants there. There was a story out here that he was going to be giving 50 bucks, 100 bucks, 200 bucks to these illegal immigrants. He is going to give migrants up to $10,000 each in taxpayer money with no ID check, no restrictions, no fraud control.
I saw $1,000 a couple weeks back for a credit. So is this
is a cash card, according to the Post, cash card for up to $10,000. Here's a card. We don't care who you are.
Are you sure about that?
$10,000? No, the Post says it. I'm just reporting.
I'll tell you something. Dude, if that's Post. Being done, it needs to be all New York tax money.
Yeah.
Not any federal tax money. That's insane.
That is.
And you wonder why they continue to come to New York.
Yeah.
Huh? Well, they cross the border and they go, where can I get the most free stuff? New York? Well, let's go.
New York.
$10,000 a piece.
Sign me up.
Card.
Sign me up. That's incentivizing. More people coming to New York illegally when they've got a massive problem right now.
With what you know about this, do you identify as illegal migrants, or do you have to prove you're an illegal migrant?
I don't. Wesley.
I was thinking there's a couple things I need to pay off.
I got you. If you just identify as an illegal immigrant, maybe they'll send you a card.
Listen, I was very conscientious about our staff members here, and I was thinking about Chris's student loan debt and thought I could help him there.
Right.
Right. So from the last segment. So
where do you get your sarcasm from, Wesley?
You know, can we answer that?
No, you don't answer that.
Okay.
Sure.
It's a short answer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's, all right.
Starts with the Y and ends with the U.
Okay. All right, that is a short answer.
That's good.
So $10,000 for it. Okay, and seriously, do they walk, get in line?
It just says they'll give them up to $10,000 each in taxpayer money with no ID check, no restrictions, no fraud control.
I'm reading directly
from the New York Post.
Okay. We can talk about that more later, but that they are giving free cards out with money on them, like EBT cards.
Yeah.
Some people in America get EBT cards, the same type of thing.
Sorry for belaboring this thought, but I just don't understand why the American citizens that are in New York aren't getting in line as well. If they're not going to do any more.
There's a lot of anger.
Yeah. I mean, get in line for the free money.
Right.
The reason is because if they're not doing any more.
That article, Steve.
Yeah. Well, and I've.
I don't have to print it out. Just look at the New York Post.
I've seen an article very similar to this about New York a couple weeks ago, and at the time then, and I would assume now, there's very little, if any, filtering through who's in line, so to speak, to get the card. So I would imagine you're going to have some New Yorkers saying, okay, well, let me hop in line here. I can say I'm illegal.
Yeah.
Because that's free money.
Yeah. We'll follow up more on the story. I do find, I'm not questioning you, Steve, reading from the Post. I was looking for that article, but $10,000.
I know.
I read $1,000, but $10,000 sounds, I don't, where are you going to
get that? How can they afford that, even in New York?
Well, you probably have to identify as a transgender illegal immigrant to get the 10.
Yeah,
Weston, can you get serious here? This is a serious news show. And
sorry. I didn't mean to laugh. Sorry.
Yeah.
He's incentivizing my bad behavior.
He is.
He's laughing.
Exactly right.
He's laughing at it. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Wesley, Steve, and Ray. Go ahead, Steve.
All right. The UN has taken a vote this morning. It took a vote, an Arab-backed UN resolution in the UN Security Council to have an immediate ceasefire in the Gaza Strip. The 15-member Security Council voted 13-1 for this Arab proposal. The United States voted against it. The United Kingdom abstained, and the United States vetoed it. But it's not that they don't want a ceasefire. It's that they say that this particular one would get in the way of getting hostages back. They are proposing a ceasefire when it's more convenient, and they're putting pressure on Benjamin Netanyahu to comply.
Listen, the United Nations has a long history of being, well, they've been anti-American in many ways, yep. And certainly they've been anti-Israel for a long, long time, right? So that doesn't surprise. Well, I guess what is surprising a little bit is the U.S. Would this have been Biden instructing our representatives at the U.N. to side with those who are criticizing
Biden
Israel?
Biden administration certainly sets the policy, yeah. And the U.N. Yeah. Ambassador follows it.
Yeah. So, right, the world against Israel, right? That continues.
Look, that was true on October the 6th, the day before. It just wasn't as obvious. And then after the attack on October the 7th, it just became, let's say, obvious and very popular anti-Semitism. It wasn't that what happened on October the 7th created anti-Semitism and only revealed what was already there. The UN has never been a friend to the nation of Israel. They aren't today. So I think we got to say to Benjamin Netanyahu, America ought to be saying, go ahead and finish the job.
Right.
Finish the job. Do what you have to do.
Do what you have to do to protect, and they will, to protect their country. But the pressure... Usually the U.S. is standing with Israel. In this case, they're going to be standing with those who oppose Israel. It sounds like to me, calling for a ceasefire. Have they called for Ukraine to ceasefire with Russia?
No, they have not.
They haven't
taken that vote yet.
Okay,
no.
All right. So just Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm handing Tim the New York Post link to the story I was talking about.
Okay.
In case we can look.
Yeah.
All right. There's been a new study of the COVID vaccine, and this is a massive study. It took in hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of pieces of data from people who took the vaccine, and what they found is that there is an elevated risk in heart and brain conditions to those that have taken the vaccine. Now, they call it a small increase. But I've seen that's like you're 5 to 6 times more likely. So
Are you talking about myocarditis?
Yes.
That's pretty well documented, isn't it?
It's been slow to admit to it.
That's what I was going to say. Yes, it's been documented amongst, I guess, our conversations, but in the mainstream media and even on social media platforms and everywhere else, are mostly in the medical field. By and large, that's not being discussed.
It's called the shot, what do they call it? The street name?
mRNA?
The shot block, the box shot.
Oh, there's a street name for it? I hadn't heard
well,
that.
Well, the clot shot.
Clot. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
I'm talking about this. The street.
There's a lot of. Yeah.
That's a street name for the. Well, listen. Okay. On a serious note, that not, this whole conversation is serious because people have been injured and some died.
From the COVID shot.
Yeah, it wasn't 6 months to a year after the COVID shot was introduced to the world that some European countries began to deny the COVID shots for particularly males 30 and under.
That's right.
Because there was too much of this myocarditis going on.
That's right.
I'm not making that up.
These are countries.
Countries, France. I remember France, maybe Germany, and some others, Sweden maybe, but some other countries in Europe said no to the. Now, maybe it was just the Moderna. I've forgotten exactly. But I'm saying that there was some concern, growing concern, over the risk of myocarditis occurring to younger people having taken the COVID vaccine shots.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now, people who are proponents of the COVID vaccine shots are going to tell you that it saved a lot more people than...
And in fact, many people in this article say it's still better to take the shot and risk... you are helped by the shot more than you are at risk of getting these...
Well, I'm fine with that as long as it's the individual's choice.
Right.
Sure.
Okay.
That's where I've been all along, is the individual choice.
Yeah, what we did in this country to the servicemen and women was shameful.
Yes.
That's what the Democrats did. The Democrats, for the most part, were behind this, where we had men and women serving our country, and they kicked them out because they wouldn't get an experimental vaccine shot. As it turns out, which didn't stop you from getting COVID and didn't stop you from spreading COVID. So tell me what the point is. The only point left is keeps you from getting sicker when you get COVID, okay? But if you're not going to... If it's not going to keep you from getting it, Ray, it's not going to keep you from spreading it, then you shouldn't be forcing people to get in.
The vaccine mandate was a terrible idea in the first place.
Yes.
A terrible idea. But it was especially terrible to the men and women in the armed forces.
Yes.
Those who lost careers in the armed forces, forced out.
And now we got a shortage.
Now we got a shortage, right.
Now we got a shortage of people in our military. In large part because we kicked a lot of them out because they wouldn't get a COVID vaccine shot.
Two things on this as far as my thoughts. One, I agree with you 100%. Forcing, mandating, and firing people for not getting a shot is anti-American.
Yes,
It's anti-Constitution. Number two, and this is one thing that's often not discussed, the COVID by and large, it's just not that big of a deal. People get sick.
Right.
They get a flu.
We got two people on our staff here who have COVID
they
now.
Got the sniffles.
They're sick. They're staying home. They'll be back next week.
Yeah. So ultimately, at the end of the day, it's just really not that big of a deal as it relates to the long-term health of a person. Right. As it relates.
COVID today. Now, I will say this. When COVID originally hit our shores after, it was a little bit more dangerous in the sense that it was going to the lungs.
That's right.
We all know people who had
people hadn't developed immunity to
right so it was different, but nowadays you're right, it's just a cold or a flu basically.
Yeah, sure.
It's you have it for a few days and you're back at work or back you stay home. All right, thank you, Ray, appreciate it.
Thank you, Tim.
Ladies and gentlemen, hopefully you've been able to figure out where we stand on these issues. Tried to be unambiguous here. My thanks to Wesley, to Steve, and to Chris, and to Jenna, and to Brent Creeley, our producer. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you back here tomorrow for another edition of Today's Issues.